And let us pray. Speak to us, Lord. Open up our ears and our eyes and our hearts, and speak to the very deepest part of us through your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And what you see on the back of your bulletins is a similar story from Luke's Gospel. So if you would like to read along, you can see what's the same and what's different. But I will be reading from Matthew's Gospel. And it says this: as they, Jesus and the disciples, approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Zechariah. And Zechariah, a long time before Jesus, said, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the two disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Now, when Jesus finally entered the city of Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, and they asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds who had been following Jesus said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, which is in Galilee." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All right, I've got a question for you this morning. And it's just a raise your hand kind of question. So, no pressure. So, how many of you have ever attended a sporting event that was held either in kind of a pretty good size? Erica is already waving both hands. Attended a sporting event either in a pretty good sized gymnasium or even a big stadium? Raise your hands. Oh, almost all of you. Excellent. So, while you were at that sporting event, whatever it was, whatever sport it was, you probably saw and were maybe even a part of what I think is one of the most fascinating human phenomena. Okay? So you probably saw somewhere off in another part of the stadium or the gym, there was this small crowd of people. And they all kind of started to talk together. And they kind of came up with this idea. And they all kind of turned to their neighbor, and they kind of shared with them the idea and tried to get their neighbor on board with the idea. And it just kept spreading and spreading and spreading until the signal to begin happened. So the next thing you know, you look over at that same part of the stadium with that little crowd, and all of a sudden the whole section is standing up and they're waving their arms like this, and then they're sitting back down again. And then in the next section over, they're standing up and they're waving their arms and they're sitting back down. And it goes, the wave, right? How many of you have done the wave? Okay, I was getting a little worried that you weren't quite sure what I was talking about. So you're watching this wave sweep across the crowd, right? And it's coming closer to you and closer to you, and you're like, all right, got to put my beverages down so my hands are free, right? And when it gets to you, you stand up and you wave your arms and then you sit it back down again and then you watch it go the rest of the way across the stadium. And the goal is to get it to go from one side all the way to the other. as you were watching this wave coming your way, especially if it's like the fourth or the fifth time it's going through and you're starting to get a little bored and you're missing, you know, you really want to watch what's going on in the middle of the field, you might be starting to think, I don't know about this. I'm kind of getting tired. But as that wave gets closer and closer again, you're like, okay, all right, we're going to do it again. And so maybe you don't actually stand up this time. Maybe you just kind of wave your arms a little bit and it just sort of dies out as it keeps on going. But the thing is, you didn't really want to do it, but you did it anyway, right? Because everybody else around you was doing it too. Being part of a crowd is a very powerful thing. It can make you do all kinds of things you never thought you could or would do. So another word for this is having sort of a herd mentality, if you've ever heard that before. And that just means we as humans, we can be influenced by the people around us. And so the people around us can make us behave in certain ways. We can follow a trend, or we can decide to buy a particular thing solely based on what the other people around us are telling us. The stock market is a great example of how powerful the herd mentality can be. Because if one person panics over a stock, suddenly the whole market gets just as worked up and you see things plummet very quickly. I mean, the opposite is also true, but we don't generally hear those stories. We just hear the stories about the panic and things going down. Now, another word for this, other than herd mentality, mob mentality. If you've ever heard that phrase before, generally that has some pretty negative associations with us. When I think about that, I think of when you see maybe a group of very peaceful protesters who have gathered together to make their voice known and to stand up for something they feel is very important, and suddenly in the midst of this peaceful protest, violence breaks out. And things get destructive rather than being constructive. Chances are most of these people came in peace to speak out and to make a difference in their world, but it takes just one person. It takes just one angry voice in the midst of peace to get everybody all riled up. It just takes one. Now, on the other hand, there are some positive aspects to this mob mentality. And I think one of my favorite examples is the idea of the flash mob that has become popular in the last couple of years. You've probably seen the videos of, like, choirs showing up in the middle of the mall during Christmas season and somebody starting to sing the Hallelujah chorus or a favorite Christmas hymn, and it's just that one person who's got the guts to stand up and sing in a whole room full of people, and then another joins and another joins and another joins until everyone is singing along, whether they were a part of the flash mob or they're just sort of bystanders who got to see it happen. It just takes one to get that started. Or if you think about this idea of random acts of kindness, where, you know, you go through McDonald's and you give a few extra dollars to help pay for the meal of the car behind you, and then the hope is that the car behind you then spends a little extra money to help pay for the car behind them, and so on and so on. It just takes one to start a movement like that. All it takes is one person with an idea, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But it takes one person, and an entire crowd of people can be persuaded to do something they never thought they could or would do on their own. So when we think about this crowd that was following Jesus around, we're not quite sure where they all came from, right? We just know they started to gather around him as he moved from Bethphage to Jerusalem. And verse 8 tells us that it was a very large crowd. So I guess maybe, you know, the person that the disciples went and got the donkey and the colt from, maybe Maybe he was the one who started to spread the news of what was going on. Maybe he was just looking out for his livestock and said, yeah, you can borrow them, but I'm going to follow. I'll be right behind you. And so maybe he started to tell his neighbors along the way as he was following Jesus. Somebody must have created quite the buzz. And others came out to see the show. And it only takes one person. And it probably only took one person to take off their cloak and throw it down in the road. And suddenly everybody else was doing it too. And it was probably just one person who started cutting down those palm branches and started spreading that on the road too. And then the crowd followed suit. And it was maybe even just one person who started shouting out in praise, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Words which would have been familiar to them from the book of Psalms. That word Hosanna, that you've probably lost count of the number of times we have said it or sung it so far today. That word Hosanna comes from a Hebrew phrase that means save now. And it was originally used in Psalm 118 as a way to cry out to God. Like in Psalm 118, which says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. But over time, this word Hosanna went from meaning save us to becoming something like hallelujah or rejoice. So when these crowds that are following Jesus, perhaps one person starts by saying and shouting Hosanna, when they said that word, they were rejoicing because they thought Jesus was coming to overthrow the Roman government and to put an end to their oppression. But there were still traces of that old original meaning of Hosanna as well, because they were looking to Jesus to save them. And it probably just took one person to ignite that whole crowd. And the cloaks and the palms and the hosannas all symbolize this crowd's sudden submission to Jesus as king, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, of all things. But his idea of what a king is like is very different from theirs, which we see as the story of Holy Week unfolds. So what do we know so far from the scripture? We know that there was a crowd around Jesus. We know it was a large crowd. We know there were cloaks and there were palm branches and there were shouts of Hosanna from the crowd. And we know there's great power and influence in being a part of a crowd. But who were all these people who were following Jesus? I mean, his disciples were there, surely, the 12. Because anywhere he went, they were sure to follow, like Mary and her little lamb. So there were probably the 12. There was a larger group of disciples that we don't know their names. They were probably there with him. There was probably the group of women, Mary and Martha. They were there following as well. And so all of these folks, they were devout followers of Jesus who had heard about and even seen for themselves the miraculous way that Jesus had healed people and even forgiven their sins. So you've got this group here. But then you've got another group over here. Also in that crowd were probably what we would call rubberneckers and gawkers. People that when you see an accident on the side of the road, you're kind of driving, but you're kind of trying to see what happened at the same time. So these are the people who probably saw that there was this crowd following Jesus, and they joined in because they were curious. What's going on? What's all the fuss about? And in that crowd, there were probably some Pharisees and some religious leaders. And they were the ones who were growing ever more suspicious of Jesus and ever more disturbed by his popularity, which was threatening them and their power. So there were all kinds of people in that crowd around Jesus on the day that we call Palm Sunday as he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. All kinds of people in that crowd. And I don't know if it was someone from this crowd or someone from this crowd, but somebody started the shout of Hosanna that day, that joyful shout of Hosanna. That joyful shout of Hosanna on Palm Sunday that turned into angry shouts of Crucify Him on Good Friday. You see, that crowd that was gathered around him, they had some very definite expectations of what they thought Jesus should do once he arrived in Jerusalem. And they probably imagined that he would ride triumphantly into Jerusalem, probably on a nice big white horse, not really on a little donkey or colt, and that he would march right up to the Roman authorities and he would demand the release of his people from their oppression, much like Moses did back in the day with Pharaoh. But Jesus had a different idea of what it meant to be a king. Gentle Jesus spoke words of love to his disciples at their Last Supper as he washed their feet. And when he came face to face with Caiaphas and Pilate and the other Roman leaders, his words were few and quiet. This was not the Jesus this crowd was expecting. And one voice was all it took to capitalize on the fear and the uncertainty and the doubt of even Jesus' closest friends and followers. And it changed the entire mood of that Palm Sunday crowd. It changed from rejoicing to anger. So there was a crowd following Jesus. There were some good, devout people. There were some people with maybe suspicious motivations who were there. There were a lot of people. It only takes one. It's a powerful experience to be a part of a crowd. And there were all kinds of people there that day. You know who else was in that crowd that day? Me. You. All of us. We might as well have been in that crowd on that day when gentle Jesus rode into Jerusalem, because we would have been there, right? We would have had our palms in our hands and our cloaks on the ground, and we would have been shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we probably also would have been in that very same crowd as our joyful Hosannas turned into angry shouts of Crucify Him. We would have been there on Palm Sunday. We would have been there on Good Friday as well. And we might not have been that one voice that kind of turned the tide of the crowd. We might not have been the group that starts the wave in the stadium that goes the whole way around. But we surely would have joined in, just like everyone else, in the Hosannas of Palm Sunday and the Crucify Him of Good Friday. So this week, as we listen to the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, let the word Hosanna dwell in your hearts. Just kind of hold it there. But instead of shouting it joyfully in praise, like we've been doing all morning in the hymns and in the prayers, instead of shouting it joyfully, just try whispering it quietly. And remember what it meant. In the beginning, save now. Save now, Lord. Save us now. Save us from our sins. Save us from ourselves. Save us from thinking we would have been better than the crowd that surrounded you that day. Save us now, Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.